My message tonight is celebrating the gift of life. I want to ask you a question. If when you leave church tonight and you're walking out on South Ocean or Main Street, wherever, and somebody stops you and says to you or asks you, why did you go to church tonight? How would you answer them?
To praise the Lord.
Oh, my goodness. My pacemaker just jumped a couple of notches. Now, you know, some may say, well, I like Christmas carols because we only sing them during this time of the year and they really hit a special spot in my heart. Others may say, well, you know, I love the candlelight service. I love when we light our candles and the lights are dimmed and we sing Silent Night. It's just a beautiful place for me to be. Others may say, well, I went to church because my husband, my wife, or my parents made me go. That's not a good reason, but we're glad you're here anyway. And yet, some may say, you know, the Christmas Eve service is part of our family tradition. And every year, we do this, and it just is the right thing to do, and this is what we've been doing for generations. And you know what? None of those answers are bad in and of themselves. Even the one that was forced to come here tonight, I'm happy you're here. But I think the reason we came here tonight, or the primary reason, is to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And then, once we do that and we celebrate his birth, we need to ask ourselves, in response to that story of his birth, what will we do? Not just tonight, but what will we do every single day of our lives as a result of knowing what Jesus did and who he is and whose we are? You know, it's a crazy question. And for the skeptics, they ask themselves, how could the birth of some kid 2,000 years ago on the other side of the earth in a little village called Bethlehem, not Pennsylvania, because we celebrated a birth in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania this past Sunday, a family member. How could the birth of a child on the other side of the earth 2,000 years ago have an impact on us to change our lives? How is that even possible? I believe our text tonight, taken from the Gospel of John, helps to answer that question. Why a child born in a manger in a little village called Bethlehem has such an impact on our personal and collective lives? You know, it's interesting. If you read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John's Gospel is the only Gospel that is not big on details concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. You'll find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, but you don't find it here. You know, it's an interesting experience to just think about that he doesn't mention shepherds in a field. He's not talking about visiting angels. He's not talking about a woman heavy with child with her husband traveling 75 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem because there was a decree by Caesar Augustus that a census would be taken, requiring this family to go back to their roots, the house of David, Bethlehem. There's no mention of a manger by John, an innkeeper, the Magi. None of this is mentioned. And as Barbara just read, John gets right, he cuts to the chase. He gets right to the point of Christmas by simply stating this, and the Word became flesh and lived or dwelled among us. That's his proclamation. Not like Matthew, not like Mark, not like Luke. He just says, the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. But you know what? I love the Messenger translation, which is sort of like a contemporary spin on English. Listen to what the Messenger translation of the Bible says. The Word became flesh and blood and moved in our neighborhood. I like that. The Word became flesh and moved into our town, into our family, into our lives. Jesus, of course, John speaking about the Word became flesh, he's speaking about Jesus. Long before this child rested his head in a manger in Bethlehem. John says he was there since the beginning of time. And by his birth, God revealed himself in this child. A miracle of a virgin birth is hard for some to wrap their heads around. Now, let me tell you, it's not hard to understand why there are skeptics. Think about it. A woman gets pregnant with a child, not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, that took a lot for Joseph to fall for that one, right? I'm pregnant, but it was God. And okay. But you see, by the very fact that it was the Holy Spirit, it means the child that was born in that manger in a village called Bethlehem was both man or human and God. He had both natures. And that's why people raise their eyebrows and say, well, that's impossible. But listen, if you're a person of faith, you believe that all things are possible when it comes to God, that this miracle is not impossible. The only time we get in trouble is when we try to wrap our finite minds around these miraculous things that have happened in Scripture. But if you step in faith, you realize that the one we've come to worship tonight is God in the flesh. But here's what I find encouraging about Christmas and the Christmas story. You know, yesterday we had the children's pageant, and I got a kick out of it. It was done so well. Some of the highlights was when an angel came and pushed Mary out of the way. And that's not the way it went down in the Bible, but it went down here. And I loved it because kids are going to be kids. But God came in the flesh, and he walks in our neighborhood. The Message translation. Jesus would experience all the ups and downs that we'll experience in our lives. Jesus would experience all the temptations that we're tempted by in our flesh. He was tempted. He knew heartbreaks, challenges. He knew about pain and loss and grief. He wept. He laughed. He did all those things that a human would do, and yet he was also God. And eventually, he would lay down his life on Calvary's cross. So I asked myself, why would he do this? Why would he leave the splendor of heaven to take on the body of a mortal man and experience all that he experienced, including the suffering and death that he experienced in his life? Well, the Bible tells us. Why? Because he loves us. And he came to reconcile us with the Father, with God. Verse 12 of our text tells us that all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become a child of God. Now, all of you, if you're parents, you understand how important your children are. Think about, through Christ, we're adopted into Christ's family, and we become a child of his, and we glean all the benefits that a child of a parent would benefit from. Verse 4 says one of those benefits is, in him we have life. In that Christ child, there's life. And he came to bring us a whole new life, that we would get rid of the old man and woman and take on the new. In fact, John 10:10 says that Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, but not just life, and life alone, but that you would have life abundantly. Do you have an abundant life tonight? Is it overflowing? I'm wearing a stole tonight that my Sunday school class gave me when I left Sayville, and some of you might remember this. I brought it to a dry cleaner's, with all the kids signed it on the back, and it bled through, but I'm wearing it anyway. But joy, an abundance of joy and new life, is what he offers us. You see, Christmas represents the greatest gift that's ever been bestowed upon humankind. It's the love gift that promises anyone who trusts in the Lord will have an abundant life in this life and the life to come. That is why in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." Yes, on that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago, and he says, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life eternal." In other words, we live beyond this life, and we're not separated from him. God wants us to receive that gift. And when we do, he changes us from the inside out. We become a new creation in him. And the old person is gone and the new has come. I want to end with this story. One of my favorite actors of all time, Jimmy Cagney, by the way, is my favorite actor. For you young people, he was an old-time actor. But my second favorite actor was a person they called the King of Cool. Do you know who that is? Steve McQueen, the King of Cool. He starred in some of the greatest movies that I love. The Great Escape, Papillon, Bullet, The Magnificent Seven, The Sand Pebbles. And then when I was a kid growing up, one of my favorite shows was Wanted, Dead or Alive. Steve McQueen, man. But how many of you know that Steve McQueen grew up in a troubled home? His father had abandoned him and his mother when he was just an infant, and his mother was an alcoholic. He was terribly physically abused by his stepfather, and at the age of 9 years of age, he ran away from home and lived on the streets. 9 years old. I can't imagine that. He was so incorrigible that his mother and her third husband had him committed to a home for boys in California. When he reached the age of 16, he left that home for boys, and he signed up, he lied about his age, and he became a merchant marine. But when he got to the Dominican Republic, he jumped ship to have a great time in the Dominican Republic. And he started to work his way back to the States, and he wound up in Texas, and he took on all kind of odd jobs as a drifter, oil rigs, a lumberjack. He washed dishes, whatever he could find to earn enough to get a room for the night. When he was 17, he enlisted into the United States Marine Corps. And it says he was demoted 7 times to private for fistfights and insubordination. And it goes on to say, after spending 41 days in the brig, he decided it was time to straighten out his life. And he would eventually save 5 Marines when he was on an Arctic exercise and their tank was slipping into the Arctic Ocean. He dragged 5 Marines out of their tank, and he was awarded a medal for bravery for that reason. He got an honorable discharge from the United States Marine Corps, and he went and enrolled in an acting school, one of the best schools around, and we know the rest of the story after that. Why do I tell this story? You see, Steve McQueen, regardless of all of his successes, always struggled with his memories from the past. It haunted him. He always felt incomplete in his life, no matter how successful he was in Hollywood. And he got the accolades and the praises of so many different venues. He was never whole. Pastor Greg Laurie, in his book, Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon, says Steve McQueen sought out a pastor in California who mentored him and led him into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. To embrace that gift that we're celebrating tonight. But it wouldn't be long before he was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer. Because certain medicines and procedures were not offered or authorized in the United States, he traveled to Mexico to have a procedure done to remove a large tumor from his body. He was met there by of all people, the evangelist Billy Graham. And Billy Graham prayed with him and gave him a personal Bible. Shortly after Steve McQueen's operation was over and they wheeled him into the recovery room, he succumbed to cardiac arrest and he died. He had just turned 50 years old. He had a whole future ahead of him. And the attendants said when they rolled back the sheets from his body, he was clutching the Bible that Billy Graham had given him. And this is what he said before he left for Mexico. And I quote, "My only regret in life is that I wasn't able to tell people about what Christ did for me. He gave me a peace that I never had." Powerful. The King of Cool. Someone once said the King of Cool met the King of Kings. And it changed his life forever. Although a short-lived life of only 50 years, it was abundant, but more importantly than that, it was eternal. Friends, that's why we're here tonight. If somebody asks you on the street, why did you go to church tonight? To celebrate the birth of the world's greatest gift and to worship that gift, the Christ child, and to acknowledge that that gift is available to all those who will reach out and receive it. It's freely given. Don't have to earn it. You don't have to straighten your life out in order to receive it. It's given right here tonight in this place. You see, he came as the peace giver the first time around in that little town of Bethlehem. And he still comes to give us peace in our lives now, just as he did for Steve McQueen. And so we worship and we celebrate the Prince of Peace tonight. May the peace of Christ live in our hearts. And with everything that's going on in the world today and our military personnel deployed around the world in harm's way, I pray also for peace on earth. Amen.